All right, good morning, Wake. How are we doing? Doing good. Awesome. Okay, well, hey, my name is Luke Barlow, in case we've never met. I'm on the Wake team here at Watermark, and I am really excited for today. So to start off my time, I want to show you guys a couple of pictures, but before I do, I want to warn you, these pictures are of a big, dangerous, and scary animal. So I don't know if that freaks you out or anything like that. I just want you to know that before I show the pictures, okay? All right, so here we go. This is it. Let's see him. That's it. It's a big, scary animal. All right, here's another one. It's even scarier. So scary. Okay, this last one is the scariest of all. Here it is. That's it. That's it. All right. Okay, raise your hand if you did not think that was scary. Right? Like, so what you need to know is those were pictures of baby lion cubs. That's what that was. And so I just want to know, if you had the opportunity, who would love to just, like, pet one of those? Like, snuggle with it, play with it. Like, they are so cute, right? Right? Okay. Well, here's why I show you those pictures. Here's why. The reality is what I said about it being a picture of a scary and dangerous animal is still true. Like, those are lions. The difference is they're just not fully grown. And so because of that, you don't feel afraid of them. Like, you wouldn't be afraid to pet them, to play with them, or even if they, like, bit you or scratched you, you would probably think it was kind of fun. Like, you'd enjoy it. You would want to have them around. And so today, we are finishing our series called Uncomfortable, where we're having uncomfortable conversations. Last week, Jermaine taught about LGBTQ+ and how to talk about that with others because that conversation can feel really confusing. But today, we're not talking about a conversation that feels as much confusing, although it can be, but more than that, it feels awkward, it feels a little bit inappropriate, and it can cause a lot of shame. But even more than those things, this conversation feels like those baby lion cubs. The reality is, they don't feel like a big deal. Like, we don't feel threatened by those in the same way that we don't feel threatened by this conversation. It's not a big deal to us. So because of that, we're just not talking about it very often. But the greatest issue with not talking about this topic is that many of you in this room have grown to believe lies that you don't even know are lies. You don't even know you believe these lies. The world and your sin are constantly telling you how you should think, feel, and act about this topic, so much so, and you don't realize it. And not only that, but I actually personally, as Luke Barlow, not as the Wake team, not as Watermark, me, I personally believe that this topic is the most urgent and dangerous topic in the American church today, specifically with teenagers. I believe it is the most urgent conversation that we need to be having above any other and know how to respond and deal with it. And so today's conversation is about sexual purity. That's what we're talking about. When I say the phrase sexual purity, I think most of you know what I mean by that. But just to give you a quick definition, purity is simply this. Purity is freedom from sin. That's what purity is. So sexual purity is freedom from sexual sin. Therefore, sexual impurity is a lack of freedom from sexual sin. And so just to think broadly, impurity is when sin drives your decisions and actions. Now, before we move on, I want to address three reactions that I think some of you felt when I said we were talking about sexual purity. First, some of you, when I say that, feel shocked. Like, that makes you feel really uncomfortable because you haven't really struggled with that or been exposed to much of that. And so if that's you, I want to say two things. One, praise God that you haven't felt that struggle. But like I said, the world and your sin are constantly telling you lies about sexual purity. And so think of today as preparation so that when that day comes, when you are faced with it, you feel ready. And the other thing I'd say to you is that impurity isn't just sexual. Like I said, impurity is when sin drives your decisions and actions. And so for you, your struggle could be gossip, it could be pride, it could be body image, it could be addiction to video games or addiction to YouTube, addiction to social media. It could just be people's opinions of you. And so whatever your struggle is today, if it's not sexual impurity, let this message still apply to you with that struggle. Okay, the second reaction that I think some of you had when I said that is that you felt shame and you felt frustration because this is your struggle, but you don't want it to be. Like you want to be free, but you keep trying and you keep messing up. And so what I want to say to you is that there is no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ. If you've trusted Jesus for your salvation, then he doesn't judge you. He wants you to be free. And so what we're going to talk about today is how you can begin to experience freedom in this. And then lastly, some of you, when I say sexual purity, you feel deep shame. But the deep shame doesn't come from things that you've done, but things that have been done to you. And so if that's you, I want to stop and I want to speak to you directly. God hates what has happened to you. He's grieved by it. He doesn't blame you for what's happened to you. God desperately loves you. And more than anything, he wants you to be free and he wants you to be healed as a son or a daughter through Christ. And so what you need to know is that God has invited you into healing through Jesus. And so if at any point in this message you feel tempted to believe lies of shame about who you are, please don't. Remember the truth about who you are because of what Christ has done if you've put your faith in him. God loves you and wants you to be healed. Psalm 119:9 says that how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at God's word and see what it says about finding the pure way. And so we aren't going to camp out in one passage today like we normally do. We're going to jump around a lot, which is not normal. That's not normally how we teach. But because I'm convinced that this topic is the most important and urgent and dangerous one in the church today, I still think it's the right call. So for the rest of our time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to address three lies that I think we might believe today because of the world and our sin. And then we're going to look at what Scripture actually says is true about those lies. So with that, we're going to jump into the first lie that you might believe today, and it's this. Impurity isn't a big deal. It's not a big deal. This is an easy lie to believe for lots of reasons. Here's some versions of this lie that maybe you believe. It's just not that bad. Like what I do alone in my room or in my bathroom or what I do on the internet or what I text or chat or Snapchat or DM, what I do, none of that hurts anyone. And so if it doesn't hurt anyone, why is it so bad? It just doesn't seem like it's all that wrong. Here's another version of the lie. Everyone else does this, okay? It's not like I'm the only one. And it doesn't seem to affect anyone else that negatively. So if everyone else is doing it, it can't be that big of a deal. Here's another version of the lie. Here's the deal. Let's be honest. It feels good. And if it's so bad, then why did God make us that way? Why did he make us that way that it feels so good? I can't help it if it makes me feel good. And so it must not be that bad. Here's one last version of the lie. It just feels like God and my parents and my leaders and everyone else are just overreacting. Like I know everyone says I'm supposed to be pure, but it seems impossible and everyone else struggles with it. So why does God and everyone else make such a big deal about it? It just feels like it's a little dramatic. It just feels like overkill. It just doesn't seem like it's a big enough deal. Maybe you believe one or a combination or even all of those lies, but they're all the same. They're all rooted in the one lie. That impurity just isn't a big deal, and it's a lie. It is a lie. Scripture shows us that sexual impurity is actually three things. It is enslaving, it's harmful, and it's evil. And so really quickly, I'm going to break down how Scripture explains that. The first one is that it is enslaving. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Peter 2:18-19 says this. It's talking about people who've bought this lie, that it's okay and not a big deal. It says, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. Here it is. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of sin. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. So by enticing with lust, they promise freedom when they are slaves. That's how the enemy does it. To help give you a better picture of what this looks like, I want you to think about the lion cubs from earlier. You see, impurity is a lot like having a lion cub. When you first get it, it's cute, it makes you feel good, it's fun to have around, and because it's so small and it's easy to manage, you're not afraid of it. It's not a big deal. But what happens? What happens is that every time you're with the lion, you feed it. And every time you feed it, it grows. And so before you even realize it, your little baby lion cub that you've been managing and feeding turns into a 400-pound, fully grown lion. But you're still trying to manage it. You still like having it around. You've had it around all this time. And it's been with you for so long that you still don't see the danger of it. But the biggest thing that you don't see is that you aren't in control of it anymore. You can't stop that lion from doing whatever it wants and getting whatever it wants from you. You become a slave to that lion. And at any moment, that lion can kill you. And there is nothing you can do to stop it. That is sexual impurity. It is the lion that makes you a slave and kills you. This is what James 1 talks about in verses 14 and 15. It says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And then when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to what? Death. It gives birth to death. The end of sin is always death. I don't know how many of you guys think that the things that you watch at night, or the things you say to that guy or girl online or over Snapchat, or the fantasies that you have aren't a big deal, but I can promise you, they are leading you to slavery and death. They will ruin your life, and you won't stop it. So sexual impurity is enslaving. Second thing is it's harmful. Here's what 1 Peter 2:11 says. It says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, talking about Christians, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which what? They wage war against your soul. And then 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. So sexual impurity harms your body and your soul. And if you don't really understand how, I have another helpful image or illustration that I think might help you see. So what I want you to picture is a frog in boiling water. That's a weird image. Let me explain why. So imagine this. Imagine you drop a frog in already boiling water. What's it gonna do? It's gonna jump out. It's gonna feel the water and immediately jump out. It's not even gonna get all the way in before it knows that the temperature has changed and it's in danger. And so that frog is jumping out. And it's gonna escape the boiling water. But now imagine this. Imagine you drop a frog in room temperature water. And then really, really slowly, you start to turn up the heat. Now remember, frogs are cold-blooded, so they don't feel temperature the same way we do. So you slowly turn up the heat, and what happens? The frog doesn't feel it. It doesn't feel the temperature go up because it doesn't feel the temperature changing until eventually what happens? It dies. It dies from the water when it could have jumped out. But it doesn't jump out. Why? Because it doesn't know that it's in danger. The same is true of sexual impurity. You guys are like that frog. You're in the pot of water. And every time you give in to sexual impurity, you turn up the heat. And so even if you don't feel it, every single time you get hurt, every single time it does damage to your body and your soul. So I just wonder how many of you guys are turning up the heat every day and you don't even know it. But a sad part is that it doesn't just harm you. Here's more of what scripture teaches. 1 Timothy 5:2, it says that we're called to treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Here's my question. Do you think you can do that when you're feeding your lust? Do you think you can do that? Here's what Matthew 5:28 says. It says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If you just think, if you think lustful thoughts, you've committed a sin against them. So think about this. Every time you walk down the halls and you check out that guy or girl, you sin against them. Every time you think about that show or that movie scene that you really like, you sin against them. Every time you fantasize about that one person, you sin against them. When you are hurt by the boiling water of sexual impurity, you hurt others. Every time you think lustfully about someone else, you don't just sin against God, you sin against them. And then sometimes you sin against people that aren't even involved in the impurity. And the only example I can give you that is me. You see, before I married my wife, Lexi, I had to sit down with her and tell her every way I had been sexually impure. How do you think that made her feel? Like she was hurt by it. Things that I did years ago, before I ever even knew her, caused her pain. And so if you can't imagine how the mistakes you make today affect you, the future, and affect others, imagine me, because I bought the lie and I caused pain. So impurity is enslaving and it's harmful. So lastly, it's evil. Here's what scripture says about impurity. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5 and verse 7. It says this. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that's holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who don't know God. For God didn't call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And then Galatians 5:19, Paul talks about what are the acts of the flesh, and the first three he lists. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, which is basically just a pursuit of pleasure. So scripture's clear. Sexual impurity is against the very heart of God. There is no doubt. It is wrong, sinful, and evil. And we've already established what that looks like. It's not just when you slip up. Even your thoughts, your lustful thoughts, are evil in God's eyes. So that's the first lie, is that it's not a big deal. The truth is that it is enslaving, harmful, and evil. And so now before we move on, I need to stop because I want to pause and ask, man, is there anyone in here who feels shame right now? Do you feel condemned or judged by God because of what you've done? Because if so, I need you to hear that God does not want you to feel judged. He wants you to be set free. If in your heart you want to be free of sexual impurity, that's God working in you. He's doing the work. But if you feel shame or you believe that God's disappointed or angry with you, then that's not from him. He loves you and wants you to be free. So I'm gonna give you 10 seconds and I'm gonna ask you to pray. I'm gonna ask you to pray that one, you would believe the truth about yourself and not believe the lies, and two, that you would ask God to help you be free. So 10 seconds, close your eyes and pray. Let's move on to the second lie. Here's the second lie. I can fix impurity on my own. I can do it. I'm in control. There's a lot of different versions of this lie too. Here are some. The first one. It won't last. Like once I grow up and once I get married, like I'll grow out of it and I won't struggle anymore. So it's okay if I struggle today because I'm on the way out. It's gonna naturally grow out, or I'll naturally grow out of it. Here's another version of the lie. I can keep it under control. As long as it doesn't turn into this, as long as I don't do that bad thing, I can keep managing this thing. And I'll just keep managing this and be in control. And it won't be that bad. It won't get worse. Here's another version of the lie. I don't need to tell anyone about this. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. It's embarrassing. Like, I'll just fix it. I'll take care of it on my own before anyone else needs to know about it. I don't need to tell anyone. Here's the last version of the lie. I can stop whenever I want. I just haven't tried hard enough yet. But if I really tried my hardest, I could be pure if I wanted to be. All of these are rooted in that lie that you can fix your impurity on your own, and they are all lies. None of them are true. Here's the problem with believing that impurity, that we'll grow out of it or that we can manage it. Jesus in Mark 7:21-23 says this. He says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come all these things." And three of the things he lists are sexual immorality, adultery, and sensuality, which is again a pursuit of pleasure. And he finishes by saying, "All these evil things come from within." You see, you don't catch sexual impurity from something or somewhere else. It lives inside of you. The lion cub lives inside of you. It comes from your heart. And so if you don't deal with it, it will only grow because that's what's most natural. And as long as you're a sinful human being, the thing that will naturally grow in you is sexual impurity, not the other way around. However, God in his abundant kindness to us has told us what it takes to actually find purity. So what is it? Two verses. The first one is from Ephesians 4, 21 and 22. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Here's the next one, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Here it is. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's what we need. If you want to find purity, if you actually want to be free, you need a new mind, specifically a renewed mind. The lies that we can fix our impurity by ourselves, but the truth is you can't fix it. You need God to transform you and specifically to transform your mind. So how does that happen? How does God do that? Well, scripture gives us four things that God uses to transform our minds and free us from impurity. So for the rest of the message, I'm gonna get really practical and I'm gonna tell you what it actually looks like to be free, based on what scripture says. So these are the four things that God uses to transform your mind. You ready? They all start with C. Christ, confession, community, and commitment. Christ, confession, community, commitment. Those are the four things God uses to transform your mind and free you from impurity. Let's break them down really quick. First off, to find purity in a new mind, you need Christ. Look in Romans 8 with me, verse 10. It says, if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And then in verse 13, it says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Okay, this is, I think, the most important thing I will tell you today about your fight for purity. And it's this: you don't do the real work. You can't do it. You can't take any steps towards purity unless Jesus does the work first. He has to do it first. It is only the Spirit of God in you that can start to give you a new mind, not just trying harder. And so as we walk through the other three things, I need you to remember at the end of the day, you don't make yourself pure. You don't fix yourself. You need Jesus to come in and do the work for you. And so this is why the first questions I want to ask to you on your journey to purity is this: do you know Jesus? Do you believe that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, and that he rose from the dead to make a way for new life? Because if not, that's your first step. Is you have to trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sins and for new life. And if you have trusted in Jesus for forgiveness of sins and new life, then your most effective strategy for purity is simple. Pray. Ask God to do the work. Pray that God would transform your mind. Pray that he would set you free. Pray that he would help you be faithful. Pray that he would give you his strength, because remember, he does the work. So for a new mind and purity, you need Christ. Second, you need confession. Where do I get that? Ashton read this earlier. It's 1 John 1:7-9. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from unrighteousness. Now, I think some of you hear that and you're like, no way, can't do it. It's too embarrassing. It's too hard, too shameful. I can't confess. And let me just say that I understand that. I know what that's like. I've been there. I know how scary it is to let people in on those parts of you. But don't miss the promises of verse 7. What's the first one? You get fellowship, true fellowship. That's friendship God's way. You can't be fully known by others if they don't fully know you. And once you're fully known, you can be fully loved. by your friends, and that alone is worth it. But what's the second promise? It's purity. Like, that's what we're after. That's what it takes to be free. So my question is, do you want to be free? Because if you do, then confession might be your next step. And so if there's anyone in here today and your heart is racing and you feel in your gut that you want to confess sexual impurity, maybe for the first time, I'm begging you, don't leave Wake today before telling someone. Tell your leader. If your leader's not here, tell a trusted friend. If no one's here, if you're here alone, tell me. I'll talk to you. Talk to AC. Tell someone. Take the first step towards freedom. And this might sound even crazier, but it might be worth telling your parents. Do you know why? Because they want you to be free too. They can help you. They live with you. Your parents desperately love you. And they want you to be free from the pain and destruction of impurity. So just think about it. So to have a new mind for purity, we need Christ and confession. Third, we need community. Look at 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace alongside those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then Galatians 6:1-2, it says, if anyone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person, but watch yourselves or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this, you fulfill the law of Christ. So scripture's clear. This is a battle that you can't fight alone. We just talked about confession. You can't confess if there's no one to confess to. So we need each other. Think about the lion illustration. Do you guys ever, have you ever seen videos of lions like stalking prey and they attack them in the wild? Do you know which one they always go for? The one that's alone. That's the one they go for, the one that's farthest back in the pack or the one that's by themselves. And guess what 1 Peter 5:8 says? It says, be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. If you're alone, he's looking at you. So what could this look like for you? Well, one, this is why we do small groups. So you have community built in. Like, we've given you small groups so that you could be known in confession and be challenged to grow by one another. A great tool for this is something we call accountability. Accountability is like tracking with one another. It's like a bank account. How in a bank account you track the money that goes in and out. It's like doing that with a person. You track people. Nothing gets by. You don't do, say, think anything that doesn't go through someone else. That's what accountability is. When you're tempted, you let someone know. When you fail, you let someone know. When you have victory, you celebrate with someone and let them know. So what happens is they bear the burden with you and you begin to grow. So maybe for you, the next step is accountability. Find leaders and friends and commit to telling each other the truth, good and bad. Remind each other of scripture and pray for each other. That's what community does. So for new mind and purity, we need Christ, confession, and commitment. Christ, confession, and community. Last is commitment. Why does commitment get its own step? Ephesians 5:3 says this, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, not even a hint or of any kind of impurity because these are improper for God's people. The reason commitment is its own step is because I know there are those of you in here that are asking, how much do I need to confess? How often do I need to confess? What's the line? What can I get away with? What's fine? What's good enough? And that attitude alone is going to set you up to fail. Scripture's clear. If you want to be free, there can't be a hint of sexual impurity. It says you have to run from it to get away from it. So ask yourself, where are there hints of sexual impurity in your life? Is it your phone? Is it your tablet? Is it TV? Is it movies? Is it YouTube? Is it websites on the internet? Is it Snapchat? Is it other social media? Where are the hints of it? And once you know, do whatever it takes. Get rid of it. If it's your phone, get rid of it. Tablet, get rid of it. Put filters on it. Block it. Do whatever it takes. And if that sounds like a lot, remember, the goal is not to just not slip up. The goal's freedom. And that comes with commitment. So to find purity, to experience a new mind, you need Christ, confession, community, and commitment. So now to close, I want to uncover the last lie, which is this. I'll never be pure. I've tried. I want to be. I just can't do it. I'm never going to be pure. I'm always going to struggle with this. And here's the truth. On your own, you're right. You will never be pure. You can never try hard enough. But here's the truth. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you're already pure. 1 John 3, it says, beloved, see what kind of love the Father's given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are his children. And verse 3 says, whoever hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So if you're a Christian today, you are God's child and he loves you and you have his purity. And all we've talked about today is walking it out. It's how to experience it. Galatians 5:1, it says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. And don't let you, stand firm them and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Christ has set you free by his life, death, and resurrection. If Jesus is your savior, you have his purity. It's yours. He just calls you to live it out. And so as you go back into the world and you see and hear the lies about sexual purity, don't buy the lies. Jesus offers freedom, and freedom is found in purity. Take your next step today and walk in freedom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of scripture. Thank you for the promises that we can be free in Christ. God, if there's anyone today who wants to be free, God, would you set them free? Would you help them take the next step? If it's to confess, help them take that step today. Help them find accountability. Help them commit and do whatever it takes. God, we need you desperately. At the end of the day, there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves pure. It's only your work. So we beg you, would you do the work? Would you set us free in Christ? We love you and praise your name. Amen.